Welcome to Landscape Smart, presented by Radom & Stone and Landscape Company. Call now with all of your landscaping, lawn, and garden questions at 923-1450, toll-free 1-888-900-1450, or airtime free on your U.S. cellular phone at #1450.
KFIZA News Time, 8:10, and of course on a Saturday morning in spring and summer and fall, it's time for Landscape Smart. 923-1450, heard the numbers. Our suggestion to you is call early. We make that suggestion every week so we can get your call in. We'll have a couple of secret callers this week. Ron will tell us about that when he tippy-toes into the room. In the meantime, we're going to say good morning to Master Gardener Joe. How are you?
I'm just great. We're getting to planting time. That weather's getting kind of warm.
And a good opportunity for you to talk about a big event today.
Yes, the big event today is the Master Gardener plant sale. That starts at 9 o'clock this morning. We are all ready for you. We prepared all day yesterday, getting our plants organized. There's some beautiful plants. Any kind of tomato that you want. I'm amazed at how wonderful our master gardeners are at planting seeds and these tomatoes and peppers and herbs, and they're just wonderful. So at 9 to 1 is are the indoor hours. And 9 until 3 are the outdoor hours. We are part of the university and part of the State Master Gardeners. So while the mask guidelines have been changed, our rules have not. So you are required to wear a mask. It's at the Cow Palace. And I hope you can join us.
So mask up and head down there.
Mask up and head down. It'll be a wonderful day today.
All right. 9 o'clock open.
9 o'clock we open. Yep. We're waiting for you.
All righty. And then we say good morning to Ron Radoman.
Well, good morning.
And speaking of open, is Radoman.
Radoman's is open. I wasn't watching my clock.
We knew you were here. We saw you drive in.
Yeah.
Yes, we almost collided in the parking lot.
Yeah. We had a little rendezvous in the parking lot.
Woo-hoo.
Ooh. I didn't know if I was late or Ron was early. We usually don't arrive at the same time.
You're usually here long ahead of me.
She was planning for the sale.
Right.
That's why when I thought, well, if you're still just getting here, I must have plenty of time. So I returned to one more call yet here first. So sorry about that.
But you're here.
Oh, yeah.
And the lines are open.
Didn't miss a thing.
No, didn't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. Didn't miss a beat. And we got a caller already, so let's hit the phones.
Sounds good.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Can I ask a question already?
Yep. You need to turn your radio down. That's the confusion here, because it comes through your radio a couple seconds after we talk.
I was wondering if what you should and shouldn't put on for your, eggshells on your whatever you've got.
All righty, and again, please turn down your radio because we're getting feedback.
I think the question is it okay to put eggshells and use them in compost, and if they do any good? And I would say there's probably limited value there. You know, there's calcium and things like that, but I don't know that it would be readily usable coming out of an eggshell. It might in time. But I think the little bit of value you'd get from a few eggshells, it probably no help, no hurt, really. But
right, and I have, my cousin swears by putting eggshells in his around his tomato plants.
Uh-huh.
But I, again, the value, the scientific value of it is
limited.
Limited.
I mean, it kind of even helps, like, aerate the soil a little bit. You know, anything that assists in the reduction of compaction and things like that, and eggshells would certainly do that. So that part wouldn't hurt. But, you know, you'd probably have to, get them into such a fine powder that it would really be readily available to a plant. So,
if you're fertilizing it, it's
right, and if you're using other fertilizer anyway, there's probably everything that you would need there. So,
all righty,
whatever works for you is what works best. Yeah.
Okay.
And what about orange peel?
That one I have not heard about at all.
Well, it would be acidic, and that would break down in time. So, you know, I guess kind of keep that in mind as you would, if you have, my gut feeling there would be more that if you're trying to lower your soil pH and you incorporate orange peel in, again, if it would have to be, you'd either need a lot of oranges or you'd need a small pot that you were working in.
Right. It can all be composted, you know, to put it in directly into your soil. Again, questionable and limited.
Mm-hmm. So,
like I normally don't put it in my compost because I feel it has some sort of oils in it. Is it okay to put it in the compost?
I don't think there would be enough there that it would
make a difference.
That it would make much of a difference. You know, even in even with, you know, if you had an orange every day, that wouldn't amount to much. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, well, good luck with your leftovers. Thanks for the call. 923-1450, 1-888-900-1450. Doing deliveries too?
Yeah, Raderman's doing deliveries this morning. You can still get a delivery. See if you can beat those little tiny showers that are coming across. We'll see if that materializes or not.
Yeah, that's really iffy.
Yeah, I looked at the radar and it didn't show.
No, they got a chance of popping up is what it boils down to.
Well, and I think it's going to kind of burn off by the time it works its way across here. Mm-hmm. So we might get a few sprinkles, but I don't think it's going
to. That should not deter you from coming to the Master Gardener plant sale that starts at 9 o'clock this morning.
Absolutely not.
I was thinking it'd be kind of good timing if you know, because you could stop at the plant sale, then stop at Raderman's. By the time you get back home, the showers will have passed, and you can kind of get right to work.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
If there is a little shower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
how many secret callers today, Mr. Raderman?
Well, we're going to do two secret callers.
Wow.
Again this week. The first secret caller would have the option, of course, everybody knows now, Walleye Weekend coming up here real quick.
That's right.
So it's like 3 weeks away yet. It's less than a month. Let's put it that way.
Oh, and fish fry tickets?
So we've got a couple of fish walleye filleted dinners or sandwiches, a meal, whichever you prefer. And so the first secret caller will have the option of that or getting into the entry for the $100 gift card at Raderman. So you can't lose either way.
No. Second caller gets the leftovers.
Second caller gets the leftovers. Yep, whether it's the leftover eggshells or the leftover of fish.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
923-1450, lines are open for you. Again, we urge you to call your questions in early so we don't run out of time at the other end.
I have a question that...
Well, you have to call in.
This person... Okay, wait a minute. Let me get my phone. This person asked me because they were shy about calling in on the radio.
I get a few of those too. Mm-hmm.
And asked if I would ask Ron this. This is a Ron question.
We'll see if Ron has the answer.
Okay.
Say Ron who.
Well, and I'm asking this. I want to identify them, no names, but her husband had a birthday on Monday. So they're checking up on me to make sure I ask this question.
Okay.
They want to know about fertilizer stakes or packets for crabapple trees or autumn blaze maples. Who has them? Do you recommend them? How long do they last? How do they work? Anything you want to say about that? These are older, established trees.
Yeah, and that's a great question. We actually do get that question quite often. And, you know, the simple answer to that is the fertilizer stakes are probably a little bit easier because you can kind of just walk out there with them and drive them in the ground, you know, with a hammer and do it that way.
Does that hurt the roots of the tree?
No. Nope. Okay. The fertilizer stakes shouldn't hurt the roots or burn them per se. You know, you would have to be a little careful with fertilizer stakes. And if you would use those stakes and it wouldn't rain or it would rain, probably even the worst thing it could do is rain a tenth of an inch once in a while here and there. And that would kind of activate the fertilizer and then it could burn the roots or burn the lawn.
So is placement an issue?
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, once you get any amount of rain, it's going to kind of, because they're so close to the surface, they would be activated. And so you could get some brown spots on your lawn real easily with fertilizer spikes, or you could potentially burn some of those roots with the spikes. The spikes will last kind of a season here in Wisconsin. You know, they're kind of good for this year. You know, a better way to actually do, if you are going to use spikes, is to put them in the fall, because then you're getting more rain in and you don't have to worry about the 80s and 90 degree weather. So if you're going to use those fertilizer spikes, and of course no one puts them in October and November, everybody wants to put them in May, you know,
right.
But if you're going to use those spikes, get yourself in a fall rhythm on them and put them in the fall, because then the roots, you aren't going to have to worry about burning because it's cooler and there's more moisture. You know, you have to be careful using them at this time of year, because otherwise you have to kind of be out there watering to make sure that it's not burning up. And these rains like we're going to get today are almost like the worst if you've got those spikes, because that little, you know, 5 or 10 one-hundredths of a rain kind of ignites the fertilizer but doesn't leach it down into the soil and into the root system. So that's kind of the long and the short on the fertilizer spikes. I like using the packets. They're twice as much work to install, but they're good for 5 years. So now if you use simple math says twice as much work for 5 years is better than half as much work every year. And the other thing I like about the packets is if you're putting them down a little further, you want to get them down 10, 12 inches. And if you can get them in, all it takes is the right shovel to do that, you know. And it's more of a long-bladed spade shovel, you know, with a flat. Instead of the curved, pointed spade, you know, use either a tiling spade or a longer straight edge spade shovel. And they're available anywhere that has lawn and garden, you know, True Value, Fleet Farm, Menards, everyone has those shovels.
And we call them a perennial shovel.
Okay, well, we can call it that when you, because they work great for planting perennials and other, but those shovels and that, you know, the packets work a little bit better, because once you get them down there 8 or 10 inches, and you can't get a spike down that far, because once you get to ground level, you're pretty well done. You know, you can maybe hit it a couple more times and get it an inch or two below grade, but then you're kind of relying on it to leach down into the root system. Whereas if you use the packet and you get it down 8, 10, 12 inches, then you're into the root zone. So that's why I like to use the packets. And the other thing about packets is you can do them in May, you can do them in July, you can do them in September, you can do them anytime pretty much except when the ground is frozen. And then with the packets, you also, if it's, if you get a wet year like we had three out of the last five, the fertilizer is activated because there's tiny holes in these packets, and so when the packets fill up with water, so to speak, then the fertilizer leaches out through those tiny holes. If it's dry, the fertilizer stays in the packet and it just sits there waiting for when it rains. So if the ground is frozen, if there's no moisture, the fertilizer is still in the packet. And so you don't have to ever worry about burning or anything, because if it's hot and dry and you're not irrigating, and you know, the fertilizer just stays in the packet right there where it belongs, so you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so I have two follow-up questions.
So, you know, so like for somebody like us in the nursery, you know, we can't go out there and water 200 acres of trees, but we can put packets in whenever we're not busy. And then when it rains or when we're getting those wet years, we get good growth out of the plants. So, you know, I'm a little prejudiced that way because I don't use the spikes at home either, because it's still the same process. So
do you have...
Let's take a quick caller first, Joel.
Oh,
hold
okay,
your questions.
Sure.
Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Ron. I have a question about lime... using lime alongside the road where the salt truck has whitened the soil, the grass, or uh-huh. whatever. Can you use too much? I had powder lime, and I put a bag of it, and I used a good-sized bag, say 50 pounds of it, because there was a lot of... when it didn't just go close to the road, it went up into my honeysuckle, too. And it was 155 feet, I put... a 50-pound bag of, spread it out, you know, I didn't put all, I mean, really mm-hmm. thick in that, and I'm just, probably should wet that down now if we don't get much rain, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, you know, I probably wouldn't put any more lime down, and I wouldn't put any fertilizer or do anything like that. The best thing you can do is just leach that out, so, you know, take your garden hose out there and don't even put a sprinkler on it. Just take the hose and let it run straight out of the garden hose and just kind of walk real slowly and kind of flood that area. And that'll just kind of, it'll displace any of that salt. You know, it'll just kind of move it around because that's what you want to do is it's... salt kind of ends up concentrated in one spot and probably not so bad in another. So just by leaching it out, you'll kind of get rid of it that way better than anything. So I wouldn't put any more lime on it. I definitely wouldn't fertilize it or anything like that, because the worst thing you could do would be put like nitrogen on it. That could burn it together with the salt that's there. So just... The best chemical is H2O.
Ron, one more question.
Sure.
On the honeysuckle, I usually got into August before I trim them. Should I trim them right after they bloom? You know, those flowers, the honeysuckle one.
Well, with honeysuckle, they're a pretty aggressive plant. So you could probably trim those.
Florets.
If you want to trim them twice a year, you could trim them after they flower and then again in mid-July or something like that. Just don't trim them after, you know, July 10th, July 20th or anything like that. So if you can kind of, sometimes it's best to touch them up a little bit right after they flower and then kind of do it one more time again in mid-July, and then you should be good till next year on the same time.
And then one more too on the what do you call those lilac bushes? Mm-hmm. I always get confused. They bloom and then you should cut them off the flowers.
Yes.
Yeah. Once they're finished, they're blossoming right now. Or if they're not blossoming right now, they're going to be blossoming real soon. Mm-hmm. So wait until those flowers are off now, and then trim off the dead flowers once they've mm-hmm. dried up, because mm-hmm. they'll put energy into those into trying to form seeds too. So if you can, you know, snip out all the dead flowers once they're done, that'll kind of help. Then the plant puts the energy back into the leaves and into the root system.
Right. And, so you should also trim them if you're going to.
And then trim them out.
Trim them back, cut them out, however you're going to do that, because they set their flowers on this year's growth.
And so, you can also cut them from the base up and get the big thick ones out. And,
correct.
I mean, the older ones, and just kind of cut about a third of them on there.
Right. Third is usually a good rule.
And that you could either, you know, if you'd want to sacrifice one third of your flowers each year, then you could do that before they leaf out. But obviously, then you're going to get less flowers that year. And sometimes it's good to kind of do hit them. What I do with mine actually is just usually make one or two cuts before they flower out, before they leaf out. I do it back in, you know, mid-April, a month ago now. I'll just take out one or two of the bigger, heavier stems, because that way when they start pushing out new growth here now, you'll get a few more new shoots coming up. And then touch them up a second time. In that first pruning that you're doing back then, you know, just make one or two cuts with a saw. You don't have to worry about overdo, because then it's best to kind of clean them up and touch them up one more time after they're finished flowering.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a younger plant, you know, you don't necessarily need to do that mid-April trimming, let's just say, but mine is, you know, 20 or 25 more than 25 years old now, so it kind of needs a little boost.
Yeah, mine are about 7 or 8, maybe close to 10 years.
Yeah, so yours probably don't really need that April trimming. I would wait and do it here, you know, Memorial Day weekend, let's just say.
Because some of them are getting really large. They're going way over the bounds what I wanted to go, maybe about 10 feet up. I want to kind of keep them a little bit lower.
You could trim those out after they're done flowering, or like I said, maybe then next year take out a couple of those already back in, you know, do them more in mid-April before they start leafing out. You can see what you're doing a little bit better then. That's kind of the key there, is a lot of times there's so many branches and so many stems there, and then you start mixing in the leaves and the flowers, it gets kind of confusing. So that's why I like to just take out a little bit of it already back in mid-April.
Thank you, Ron.
So, yep, good question, Tom, or great questions, actually, all of them.
All right, appreciate
it. So anyway, looks like we're going to take a little break.
We are.
It is getting past our break time. Anyway, Radiman's open till noon today. We're just 3 miles south of Fond du Lac. You can take Highway 41 or Main Street, Highway 175, and we're just east of 41, a quarter mile, on County Trunk B.
Got a caller waiting. We'll be right back.
It's the Military Appreciation Sale at Fleet Farm. All veterans and active military receive an additional 10% off their purchase. This week, save on things like Berkeley Flicker Minnows. Buy three, get one free. Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, $39.99 after rebate. And get a Bright Start Lawn and Garden 230 CCA battery for just $21.99. Don't forget, veterans and active military save an additional 10% off their purchases during our Military Appreciation Sale. Fleet Farm. Proudly serving the Midwest since 1955.
Hi, I'm Brock Radiman with Radiman Stone and Landscape. As the first member of our fourth generation family-owned business, I'm proud to carry on the tradition of providing quality stone products to Fond du Lac and the surrounding areas. Adding Radiman's natural landscape stone to your backyard will embellish your outdoor living areas. We also offer natural thin and full veneer stone for indoor applications such as fireplaces, or outdoor applications to combine with or replace your siding or brick. Radiman Stone and Landscape, where we have the materials to do the best work on earth.
You do your best to protect your loved ones. And while you may keep a fresh battery in your smoke detector and have a reliable home security system, there is a whole different type of protection you may be missing. A life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance is a way to safeguard your loved ones now and in the future. Meet with your local independent agent and secure a policy today to protect their tomorrows.
Visit Smith & Hatch Insurance in Eden at smithandhatch.com. Hempworks Wisconsin is your premier location for CBD and Delta 8 products. Delta 8 products include edibles, cartridges, tinctures, and other smokable options. Hempworks Wisconsin supplies their products at different retailers across the Fox Valley and beyond. Stop by their locations in Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, and online at hempworkswisconsin.com.
KFIZ News Time, 8:35. We are back. Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Taking a caller here in a minute. Ron, you had a follow-up.
Well, I just wanted to kind of get back to the packet, fertilizer packet, the NutriPack, because Joe said, boy, that sounds like a hard hole to dig. And what you really don't do, you don't really dig a hole to put those packets in. What you do is you just make a slit. And a lot of times what I'll do is two or three days before I plan on fertilizing it, I'll just throw the garden hose out there, water the tree, and then you've softened that top, you know, foot or so of soil. And I just lay the garden hose by the trunk and just let the water, you know, displace, let's just say, spread out, and it'll spread around in a, you know, in a circle around the tree. And then you can take your spade and you can make a slit and drop those packets in.
And they sell them at Radiman's.
And of course we sell the NutriPack packets at Radiman's. All right. One more quick comment too. Just remember, we're gonna have a secret caller here. And the first secret caller will have the option on the walleye filet dinner sandwiches.
Best walleye in the world.
Coming up here in 4 weeks at Walleye Weekend, or otherwise the drawing for the gift card at Radiman's.
All righty. Thanks for waiting. You are on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I'm calling regarding peppers, like the red, orange, and yellow peppers. Is it true that there is a male and a female pepper, with the female being the sweeter one to eat raw?
I'm going to have to have Joe answer that question.
I don't have an answer to that. Maybe one of our listeners does. I don't have an answer to that.
Because like I've noticed, like there's like when you turn the pepper upside down, there's like four bumps, and then there's three bumps. And someone had mentioned, oh, there's a male and a female, and I'm like, So I'm like, I'm gonna call.
I've heard that myself years ago. Yeah. Four bumps versus three bumps, male versus female peppers.
Yeah.
But I remember which is which.
Okay.
And then which one is supposed to taste better?
The female is supposed to be the sweeter one.
Naturally. Naturally.
Yeah. I knew she was working into something here.
I'm going to see if I can Google anything on that.
Because they said if you want to saute a pepper or cook with a pepper to get the male pepper, because that one is more bitter when you eat it raw. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to call the experts here because I want to know.
Obviously, you dialed the wrong number.
Here we go. I have the answer. I just Googled it, and Google knows everything.
On the internet. Of course it's true.
Well, we get one opinion.
Here we go. There is no such thing as male or female pepper. The myth goes the male bell peppers have three lobes and are more bitter, while the female bell peppers have four or five lobes, more seeds, and are sweeter tasting. And they say that is a myth.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to have to buy one of each and just see
them. There you go. Then you can call back and tell us.
I'll investigate my own.
And let us know what you find out.
Right.
And this is from the research extension, so it's not just a Google thing.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Well, I learned something too. Thank you.
All right, well, thanks for the call. Good luck with your pepper hunt.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you bet. I'll check it out.
And let us know.
I sure will.
All right, thank you. And thanks for waiting. You're next.
Oh, good morning. And I can just ask the question and then listen off the phone here. We have a couple plants that we want to get rid of. And I don't know if Roundup or Cleanup or what kind of product that you might recommend for these. The three of them are Bishop's Weed, Lily of the Valley, and I think it's a Boston Fern.
And are they all kind of growing together in one area, so you'd want to kind of just get rid of the whole area? Or
The Boston Fern and the Lily of the Valley, and then in a different area is the Bishop's Weed or Snow on the Mountain.
I can answer that, but
yeah.
Hang on the line just a second, though, because you're actually our secret caller, so Jerry will get your information off the air. And then I'll answer it.
Okay, I will talk to you fast, and then you'll hear the answer. Just hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, I'll talk fast.
Okay.
To her.
Well, and you know, the one thing is with Cleanup, it doesn't really, it won't do much for those type of weeds. So.
Yeah.
So I just want to wait a split second here for Jerry to finish up, because otherwise we'll be answering the question twice. So our caller here picked the walleye fillet dinners. So the next secret caller will have the get into the drawing for the $100 gift card. And so anyway, to answer the question, I think I would use, out at Radiman's, we've got kind of a super strength weed killer, and we call it the chickweed killer.
The good old chickweed killer.
Yeah, and that's going to, you're going to need something like that to knock out.
Especially the Lily
Bishop's
of the Valley.
Weed, Snow on the Mountain, Lily of the Valley. Those are some tough
invasives.
I call them perennial weeds. You know, they're not like a mustard that pops up and it dies out real quick.
They have big root systems.
They have a deeper, more, they're almost like a viney root system.
Yeah.
So you need something like the chickweed killer, and that'll take it. That'll take in the chemical and kill themselves. You know, it'll kill them that way. So a product like Cleanup or Roundup, it won't work on those. It might make you look good because it'll brown them up a little bit, but it won't kill them. So you'd be kind of wasting your time and money with. And now I'm assuming when I say Roundup, I'm talking about the glyphosate or the original Roundup product. You know, I don't really like using Roundup because it has so many so many variables there, but anyway, you want to use the chickweed killer available out at Radiman's. And it, by the way, it's a great time to spray your chickweed if you've got any of those other invasive, hard to kill weeds. So,
yep, and digging them out isn't going to do it because
you're not
going to get all the root systems.
Yeah, and it won't hurt the grass either. So, you know, you can spray that, and it usually takes two applications. So, you'd want to spray it once and then wait about 10 days and spray it again. Because what's going on is when you have those heavy infestations of those weeds, those viney weeds like that. You kind of, there's like the first batch, and then there's always some new ones coming up underneath. So if you spray the first ones and kill those off, and then you can kind of, the chemical will get down to the second ones that are just germinating or just coming up right behind them. So that's why it takes two applications. It doesn't really take two applications to kill the one plant, but there's usually multiple plants coming in and through. So
all right,
right now, I mean, it's kind of crunch time. You want to be spraying your fungicides now. You want to be you want to get your fruit trees sprayed now. So we have the organic hose end sprayer fruit tree product out at Radiman's. That's so simple. And so it's in its time. You got to kind of, now's when it's really difficult because you need to be doing everything at once.
Including mowing your lawn.
Including mowing your lawn and, you know, tidying up from winter yet and just, you know, it all comes together.
Mm-hmm. Plus you're going to go to the plant sale and then have to plant too.
Yeah, sorry. And you got that sorry. Too. Yeah.
9 o'clock at the Cow Palace today.
923-1450. Lines are open for you. Now's a good time to call. We have openness, so it's a good time for Eunice.
That's
Eunice who?
Oh, gee. That's a dad joke.
It is. I qualify.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a three-lobe pepper.
I had never heard that.
I had years ago, and I didn't know if it was fact or fiction. But obviously, now that we've proven it's fiction. Got a caller. Morning, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. About these Lily of the Valley. All of a sudden, I got a ton of them that came up. But they're among, I also have, the name left. They're the green leaves that grow.
Hosta.
Oh, Hosta. Yeah.
When you say green leaf, I mean, what do you think of first?
Yeah, this is right. Well, I had more hostas in there, and then all of a sudden, these Lily of the Valley appeared, and they're just going wild. Now, if I get that chickweed killer you're talking about, will that kill the hosta ones then?
Yeah, it will.
It will.
Yeah, so you're going to have to be real selective in spraying that. So, you know, you're probably going to have to spray in between. It would also work better if you can kind of, we might almost be a little late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they're not, if you would have gotten them earlier.
I think if you could get, like, sometimes before the hostas, when the hostas are only up an inch, you've got a little better chance. Because the Lily of the Valley, then you could spray and you don't have as much hosta that you could be, that you'd be spraying it on.
Well, I kind of peeking over because there's only a couple leaves coming up of the one hosta plant, and they're growing out into my lawn and everything.
You know what I would actually do is to get rid of a problem like that is dig out the hosta.
Dig out the hosta, yeah.
And then and just put it aside because it's easy. And it might be a little late here now because hostas could be leafed out pretty, you know, depending on where you're at. I mean, a week ago, you might have been able to. But I would dig out the hosta, spray the Lily of the Valley or any of the other undesirables, and then just wait a week or 10 days or so and put the, and then plant the hostas back in because hostas, you know, dig out and retransplant so
very
easily.
Yes.
And then you could, you know, and you could respace them at that time. And if you missed a little bit of a hosta and you ended up spraying it and killing it, it wouldn't really matter either because you've got the bulk of the plant there. So that would be the way I would tackle that project.
I think that's a good way to tackle that. And you
but like you said to the other lady, you know, two applications. So if I dig out the hosta when I want to do the first one, then leave that dug out, then do a second one and wait another week or so and then plant the hosta back in?
Right. I would probably spray it, wait a week, spray it, wait another, you know, 5 days or a week. So you're going to be almost two full weeks where you'd have that. But, I mean, hostas, you can...
Yeah.
Just put them in a... plastic grocery bag and make
sure
the roots
just lay them
stay
on,
a little
lay them
damp.
On a, and water them once or twice, you know, during that week, and they'll be just
fine.
Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering then, if, you know, how long you had to wait before you could get something else in there. And I don't know. I suppose the birds gave me the Lily of the Valley because I sure did not plant them.
Yeah, when they come in, boy, that's it's a tough one to get rid of.
They are invasive, and
it's
some
of those
still some greenhouses that are selling them, and it's like no.
Oh God!
I mean, you can if you have a contained garden, maybe, but
They kind of are best just out in the woodland where they belong.
Right. I agree, because it's like, holy man, some more. And like I say, they're going out into the lawn, and I've got stone thing, you know, in the front to keep the grass from going in the flowers. Well, they don't care.
Nope.
They're going right out, and in between the crack where the two cement things meet, they're just all over.
Yeah, and that chickweed killer, you know, you can spray that. Even if you get it on your lawn, it won't hurt your grass. So hang on the line. Jerry's going to get your information.
Okay.
And I think we're going to probably go to break here, too.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, I kind of figured
hang
that.
Hang tight. I'll talk to you
but
off
hang
here.
On, and because you're our second secret caller.
All righty.
So anyway, we'll keep things moving here. Radiman's open today until noon, Monday through Friday until 5 o'clock. You can still get a delivery today, 920-922-7612, or stop on by. We're just 3 miles south of Fond du Lac, just off 41 to the east.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Today's business environment demands that you stand out from the crowd. At National Exchange Bank and Trust, we offer products and services to help you do just that. Our knowledgeable commercial lenders will partner with you to evaluate the unique needs of your business and provide you with the ultimate business solution. Our independence is your greatest asset. Learn more at NEBAT.com. National Exchange Bank and Trust, serving businesses in Wisconsin since 1933. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Brock Radiman with Radiman Stone and Landscape. As the first member of our fourth generation family-owned business, I'm proud to carry on the tradition of providing quality stone products to Fond du Lac and the surrounding areas. Adding Radiman's natural landscape stone to your backyard will embellish your outdoor living areas. We also offer natural thin and full veneer stone for indoor applications such as fireplaces, or outdoor applications to combine with or replace your siding or brick. Radiman Stone and Landscape, where we have the materials to do the best work on earth.
It's the Memorial Day sale going on now at Silica for your home. Replace your old mattress with savings up to $800 on select mattresses and adjustable base sets. Get a $300 Silica gift card on eligible Tempur-Pedic mattresses. If you're looking for new furniture, take advantage of 10% off on great brands like Smith Brothers, England, Elran, and Ashley. And Silica offers free delivery and free in-home consultation. Shop the Memorial Day sale going on now at Silica for your home in Fond du Lac or online at shopsilica.com.
A reputation for being the best, the toughest zero-turn mower ever made doesn't come easy. It's earned by outworking, outperforming, and outdoing with horsepower, handling, and versatility. Introducing Bobcat Zero-Turn Mowers. Bring tough to turf. Buy a new Bobcat mower. Get 0% APR for up to 48 months and rebates up to $500. Miller Implement and Pro Motorsports of Fond du Lac. Online at workhardplayhard.net.
KFI's News Time, 8:53. Final few minutes coming your way. Landscape Smart brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Let's head to the phones. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. What's the difference between chickweed and black medic?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Is a lot of times, you know, I mean, if you look, you know, I always, when I'm using actually plants, I work with the botanical name all the time, but I'm not exactly sure what that would be. I would have to look in my Hortus Third Dictionary of Plant Cultivation and Species and Varieties to find out what some of these other names are. So it you know, it could very well be the same thing. I've never really heard of black mattock.
Medic. It's black medic.
How do you spell that?
Oh, black medic?
Yes. Yes, that's what I've always, they got, it looks like it's got little yellow flowers on it, and the leaves are like about half the size of a clover leaf, and it's once it gets in, started in your lawn, it's a devil to get rid of.
Well, that would, I can tell you one thing. I don't know if that's
clover.
It's kind it's of in the clover family, yeah. And so that chickweed killer would work on that, and you would definitely use the application there where you'd spray it right now and then wait about a week or 10 days and spray it again. And that chickweed killer should work on that. I would be shocked if it didn't. Let's put it that way. Because that's kind of that same type of perennial weed, you know, that's more, it's almost a vine, and, you know, and that's what clover is. And that chickweed killer works great on white clover, and, you know, and that I've used that in, you know, in actually in my yard at home. So yeah, that's a, yeah, that would be good, perfect for that. And I know what it is now. I just looked the picture up, and I am familiar with that. Yeah, it isn't really chickweed, but it'll work for that. So yeah, thanks for the call.
What color flowers are on chickweed?
Yellow.
Well, there's yellow, but then there's also, what's that one with the purple flowers, Joe? That's real.
That's the one I got problems with too. The one with the purple flowers.
Yeah, and it works real good on that one too. Now the name is escaping me here. I got too many things I'm thinking about at once here this morning.
Creeping Charlie.
Yeah, Creeping Charlie.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Creeping Charlie and Creeping Jenny. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that it's kind of commonly known as Creeping Charlie with that purple, that kind of purplish leaf and purple flower on it. And right now, they're, you know, that's flowering out real strong. So a great time to spray that. So yeah, good question.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call and thanks for waiting. You're next. Hello. You there? Gave up.
They must have gave up. Okay. Had them on hold too long.
I will verify that chickweed killer works good on Creeping Charlie.
Yeah.
It really.
Yeah, we call it, you know, chickweed killer, but it's
kills
creeping.
Kills any of those.
Any of those viney weeds like that, it's the answer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now is the time.
And your step two lawn fertilizer, that won't work with that stuff. I mean, it slows it up a little bit and it knocks the dandelions out, but it won't work on none of those granular products like that. Really, you know, any of the lawn products don't really have enough potency to kill out the chickweed, the black mattock, or whatever, you know, all those creeping jennies, all those viney weeds. So you really have to spray those with a hand sprayer to get rid of them. So,
and now's a good time.
And what were you going to say before, Joe?
Yes,
for the callers that don't have a that think of their question at 9:01,
right, that we had a bunch of callers and we were worried that we wouldn't be able to get to all of them. And so I made the comment, you know, if you don't get your question answered on the show this morning, you can always come to the Master Gardener plant sale at 9:00 at the Cow Palace. There are many people who have a whole boatload of knowledge about plants that can answer your questions. The sale is at the Cow Palace from 9 until 1 out inside and 9 until 3 outside.
So
hope to see you there.
So that's the, when you think of your question at 9:01, you got all day to
come over to the plant sale. You got to go to the plant sale.
Yep. Or you can stop out to Radiman's. They got a lot of the other answers. Not so much the answers on
you're the
vegetables.
You're the tree guy.
Yeah. We are at Radiman's. We're not the vegetable experts out at Radiman's. We are more landscape supply and landscape questions, yard, things like that.
And you are open this morning.
And Radiman's is open today until noon. And Monday through Friday until 5 o'clock. We're just 3 miles south of Fond du Lac. You can take, the easiest way is to exit off Highway 41 onto County B, and we're just down the road about a quarter mile.
All righty. Our thanks to Joe, the master gardener. She'll see you at the plant sale. Our thanks to...
I'm in there right now.
All righty. I will be too. Thanks to Ron, and thanks to you for your calls. News Talk 1450 KFIZ in Fond du Lac. It's 9 o'clock.
Actually, I'm heading there after I get some gas.